This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'm so glad you're joining us today. This is your host, Tim Link. I'm super duper excited about the show today. I'm always excited about our shows, but this one we've got two authors coming on talking about their latest book, The Purest Bond, Understanding the Human-Canine Connection. So we're going to take a look at this from a personal, loving, furry standpoint on what our dogs bring to us, as well as a little bit about the scientific world and how it all blends together. So I'm real excited to talk a little bit about the book. It's by authors Jen Golbeck and Stacy Colino. So we're going to come back right after this commercial break, and we'll talk to him about The Purest Bond, Understanding the Human-Canine Connection. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. And joining me now is author Jen Golbeck, who is known as the Internet Dog Mom. So we're going to pick Jen's brain about the dog mom and the internet sensation she is, as well as author Stacy Colino, who is an award-winning writer specializing in health and psychological issues. And so we'll take a look at the scientific brain and the scientific mind behind our dogs and our people that love our animals. So Jen, Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're super excited about it and love the book and always love the covers. You know, we got a nice gold in here. And I know that's, first of all, I've been told by various publishing houses that if you have a dog on your book, that's going to get people to pick it up. And then when it's a golden, that tugs at their heart a little bit more. So you're right on the right track there. But I know there's a reason behind that. So we'll touch a little bit about the golden, why golden retrievers are so special here in a moment. But tell us a little bit about the book, The Purest Bond, Understanding the Human-Canine Connection.
So I'll maybe jump in and then let Stacy follow up. So I am a scientist. I'm a professor at the University of Maryland. I'm not a dog scientist, but I've done a little bit of work on that and am really interested in all of this science about how dogs make our lives better. So at the beginning of COVID, maybe June of 2020, I was talking with my literary agent about maybe writing a happy book about dogs, because there hasn't been like a lot of happy books lately. And, you know, I've written 200 scientific articles and like 5 academic books, but nothing for the general public, like that people will actually read. And and so a few months into the process, they were like, maybe you should work with a professional writer. And after I got over like a little bit of the sting to my ego, Stacy and I got together, we just clicked right away and spent the next year and a half maybe pulling together all of this research on the really wide range of ways that dogs make our lives better by being in them. What do you want to add, Stacy?
Well, that is spot on, Jen. So when I was introduced to Jen, we clicked immediately, as she said. And at the time, my literary agent was sort of discouraging me from signing on to another project because I was so busy with another book I was writing. But when I heard about what Jen had in mind, I could not possibly say no, because it just seemed like such a labor of love. And it was.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, and I agree with, you know, Jen, what you were saying, the fact that, you know, especially with COVID, that is really, really changed the world of people and their relationships with animals, especially with canines. You know, I've seen it in my own community. The community that I live in right now is at the time before COVID was not, it was dog friendly, but I'd say probably 10% of the homes had dogs, and that was it. But when COVID hit, that changed everything. I think virtually every home in our community now has at least one dog.
It's the best.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the question, though, I've seen is, and we'll go a little bit more into the book here in a moment, but COVID, as you mentioned, it brought a big change and an influx, got people more introduced to animals. What have you both seen as far as post-COVID? Has that continued? Has that expanded as far as the love and the connection and understanding we have with our canine companions? Or is it more up, we're back to square one and everybody's going back to work and you know, the dog has moved on elsewhere or is left at home?
I think there was a big worry when we saw the shelters all getting cleared during lockdown. Are those dogs all going to come back in a couple months? And certainly there were some people who returned those dogs once they started getting back into their regular lives. But I don't think it was a huge trend. And I think what we saw is like having that time to really spend with our dogs, whether they were new or the ones that we already had, and focused on them and really appreciating in this like absolutely surreal time, just how stabilizing they were and how they gave us this routine and a way to get outside and do things that, you know, even though COVID's still around, we forget how disrupted our lives were. I think, you know, for those first few months, the dogs gave us that sense of normalcy. So I think a lot of people are left with this new, deeper appreciation for that relationship.
I agree. And in my community, I saw a lot of people get dogs who I never thought would be dog lovers or dog owners. And even after things started to move back to a more normal direction, they had become so used to the lifestyle that they embraced during the pandemic with regular dog walks, meeting up with friends for dog walks, going to dog parks, and so on, that most of the people that I know did not give up the dog. They gave up their job or they just decided to stay home and work from home. So it was kind of a whole shift that went on.
That's right. I think that's a good theme on life is if it's between you and the dog, keep the dog, get rid of the job, find you a new job. I think that's the key behind there. But I think it's really interesting because that, like you had just mentioned, Stacy, is the fact that I won't point names at any local neighbors. And so if anybody's listening, it's in my neighborhood, I'm not talking about you. I'm going to say that right now. But before COVID, I noticed that there was one person in particular who had not grown up with dogs and was not familiar with it, wasn't surrounded by people that had dogs, and really had a hard time adjusting to those that had dogs at the time. You know, the walks through the neighborhood, the picking up the leftovers, we'll say, off the ground, these type of things. And then when, surprisingly enough, one day I looked out the window of my home office and I had to take a double take and rub my eyes on the fact that this lady now had not only one dog, but had two dogs, and was walking through the neighborhood with a smile on her face. And it was really the great common denominator, I think, that, you know, that she realized, hey, what this, you know, having dogs really brought to her, especially in this time of COVID. But also now, like you had mentioned, Stacy, the fact that now everybody's in the same boat. It's like having kids, you know, you can stop and talk to people and talk about, oh, your dog did this. Oh, my dog did that. And so I think it really brought the bond a little bit closer.
Absolutely. And one of the great things about dogs in terms of your community is they provide a ready-made topic of conversation with anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the book, The Purest Bond, we talk about your background, writers, professional writers, scientific minds, these type of things. But Jen, like you mentioned, you want some fun out there too. And a lot of the fun books, I agree, a lot of it is either they're novels or they're geared towards a youth, young adult community. How did you come up with the idea of blending those two worlds? Because it's very easy as a writer, I would assume, to be very on one track. It's a very scientific or it's a business approach, or I'm writing for this type of column or article or for this type of university, or the fun side of things, which, you know, I'm writing for the youth and the people that are home with their dogs.
Yeah, I don't really know how to write for fun people by myself. I write for scientists for sure. And I think my early drafts were just like the science says this and the science says that. But we're really lucky. So, you know, you had alluded in your intro that my dogs are very popular on the internet and they probably have, you know, across all their accounts on all the platforms, right around 1 million followers right now. So there's a lot of people very invested in their lives. And they were so generous with us where we would put out a call that's like, hey, if you've got a story about how your bond with your dog changed your life, let us know. We put a little Google form up and we just got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories from people about sometimes like the the darkest moments of their lives, the most joyful moments of their lives, and how their dogs played a role in it. And we did that, the first round of that, before we actually started writing the main body of the book. So what we were able to do is have a spreadsheet of, you know, 500 scientific studies that we thought we might use, and 500 stories from people about these really intimate moments and how their dogs had helped their lives. And from there, it was actually pretty straightforward to piece those together, to, you know, organize them into what became the chapters and find stories that would complement that scientific research. And I think it gives people now this way of recognizing their own experience that we're describing, really seeing the rigorous science behind that to like make them feel validated, and then connecting them to other kind of crazy dog people, if I include myself in there, you know, who really feel like these dogs are one of the most important forces in their life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I love the blend of the book, you know, because when I was contacted by your publicist and I read through the book, I thought, okay, as I said, you know, it's sometimes it gets really scientific, which I'm fine with. I'm far from the scientific mind, but, you know, I like to know the background, the approach, and I know some people, in order to be able to feel good about something they're thinking or doing with their canine, they have to have some validation behind it, maybe a scientific, maybe a veterinarian's point of view or a professional scientist's point of view. And then the other side of the spectrum is that we just want to have fun stories. And I want to read a story that says, oh, you experienced that too? I thought my dog was the only one that did that. And I loved how you both put in the purest bond, sort of blended the two together and come out with a really nice flowing book that covers sort of both angles.
Well, thank you. We wanted it to be a good read, you know, in addition to having fascinating scientific findings and touching stories. We wanted it to have a conversational tone. We wanted it to be warm, somewhat playful in tone, so that it would really reach people in the heart, because this is a heartfelt book for both of us and just in terms of the subject matter.
And I love the approach. Now, and I have to ask right off the bat, how did you guys come together? As far as I know, you came together, put together the book, but did you know each other ahead of time? Did you know each other in professional or writing circles? Or did your editor just say, hey, here's a good one, stick with her?
It's funny. So, you know, once they were like, you need to work with a writer because your writing sucks, Jen.
They didn't say that. I know they didn't say that.
It wasn't quite that bad, but that's how I felt. They lined up some writers for me to meet with. So I had Zoom calls with a few different writers. I'll let Stacy tell the entirety of this story, but she was just, you know, one of the writers who, you know, her agent, I think, works in the same agency as my agent. And so they kind of paired us up. It turns out that like our houses in Maryland are about a mile and a half apart, which is completely coincidental. I didn't know it at all until I was like, Stacy, I'm going to mail you something. And she gave me her address. And I was like, oh, I've like run past your house like 50 different times. And so, you know, now she like comes to my house and hangs out with my dogs, and like we've become great friends, but it was pretty random. And Stacy, I'll let you talk about like our actual deciding to work together, because you tell that story well.
Thank you. So, you know, getting matched up, if you're an expert or a scientist, getting matched with a writer is a little bit like an arranged marriage. You know, sometimes there's chemistry, sometimes you get along, sometimes you don't. And I think, Jen, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I was probably the last writer that you talked to.
Well, that's like a thing that you find is always the last place you look, because you stop after you find
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. That was love it, Jen.
On my part. But yeah. So Jen and I completely hit it off in this Zoom call and talked about her vision for the book and our experiences with dogs and so on. And I was a little bit of an emotional mess, although I tried to hide it really hard at the time, because just a month earlier, I had lost my dog, Inky, very suddenly. And as my younger son said, Mom, you don't know how to live without a dog. So I think we should think about getting another one sooner.
Oh, boy.
So we made it literally a month being a dog-free house. And just the week before my call with Jen, we had adopted Sadie. So as we were discussing her book that became our book, I suggested that more late in life information and themes be woven in terms of living with an aging dog while you're aging, end of life stuff, losing a dog, because as I had just experienced, the grief hits you so hard and you're not prepared for it and it's devastating. And a lot of the people around you really don't get it. they say things like, oh, well, it's not like a person in your family died. Well, you know, sometimes it's worse this way. But she really got what I was feeling because she had lost two of her goldens in the previous 6 months, which I didn't know.
Gracious.
So we kind of bonded over death. I haven't really thought of it that way, but we kind of did in grief. And then right on cue, my dog Sadie, my new dog, pushed open my office door, came in, and Jen said, well, who's this? And we just really connected emotionally over losing dogs and having similar experiences and similar thought processes. And Jen said, let's do this. And it was a leap of faith for both of us, but it worked out beautifully.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Well, condolences. And for anybody that says that any pet or any furry family member who is not part of the family, then they don't know. As a matter of fact, they're not even my friend. Be gone. That's the way I look at it. Because it is. They're part of your family, huge part of your family, and it brings so much to the family, not only from the love and the connection, but the learning and the healing and the things that they do along the way as well. And our friends and family, I will say, I've said this many times to my clients, is that, you know, they mean well often. They're like, okay, we'll get another dog, you know, that'll help. Or, you know, you're still grieving after a month. Oh, well, okay, get over it, move on. Well, no, you have to heal at your own time. And when the right and perfect opportunity comes along, the animal will present themselves and you won't have anything to say about it because you're a golden beacon with a big heart and they're going to connect themselves with you. So you might as well just open the door and let them in. That's the way I look at it.
Well, that's pretty much what happened in my case. But yeah, a friend of mine did say something, and she rescues dogs on a sort of casual basis, if you can do that, in New Orleans. She said, when I told her that I was on the fence about whether it was too soon to even think about getting another dog, she said, I can tell by the way you're feeling and the way you're talking about this, that one of the best things you could do would be to give all the love that you have for the dog you just lost to another dog and honor your dog who passed that way.
Absolutely. Love it. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and talk to Jen Golbeck and Stacy Collini about their book, The Purest Bond, Understanding the Human-Canine Connection. And I want to find out more about how at least one of them is such a terrible writer. How in the world could they blend into such a fabulous book? So everybody hang tight. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a 4-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continuing our conversation with authors Jen Golbeck and Stacy Collini about their book, The Purest Bond, Understanding the Human-Canine Connection. So before we get into the writing and picking your brain a little bit about the whole writing process and how you both go about crafting the book as well as your craft in general, Jen, I do have to ask you about your media work, social media work, your rescue work with golden retrievers, especially senior golden retrievers, and the golden ratio. I want to find out a little bit more about that. So explain that to us all, please.
Yeah. So right now, my husband and I have 5 golden retrievers. We take in mostly special needs, so seniors, hospice cases, or like really complex medical cases. And we keep it between 5 and 7 most of the time. We have never gone up to 8. We occasionally get down to 4, but that's always very short because 4 feels empty in our house, which I know sounds crazy, but you know, you get used to whatever number you have.
Right.
You know, we sort of got there by accident. We were, you know, just fostering with our local rescue group. And, you know, one thing led to another. And then we had five dogs. And then they're like, I think the rescue group was like, they'll take any dog we give them. So we're going to give them the ones that nobody else wants, which has been great for us. It's really like so meaningful and rewarding to take these very sick dogs and either, you know, give them a very gentle, soft, kind, loving end of life, or to help kind of get them as much better as they can and let them live a really full life. After Trump got elected in 2017, my research is on social media and artificial intelligence. And what I was finding is everybody was angry online. It didn't matter who you voted for. Everybody was angry.
Right.
And I was like, I just need a place to retreat from all that anger for a few minutes and gather myself. And I couldn't find that place online. At the time we had four Goldens and I was like, well, I'm just going to start putting them up there. Cause like, what's happier than four Golden Retrievers?
That's right.
And it really echoed with people. So that was, you know, end of 2016, early 2017. And it kind of grew pretty steadily for a while. And then when COVID happened, we got another big influx because we didn't talk about COVID for like a year in any of the social media. Because I'm like, people are coming here to stop thinking about stuff that stresses them out. So we're just not going to talk about it. We're just going to post the dogs swimming outside, eating their little carrots after dinner. And it became a real respite for people. And I think a very feel good story, right? That you, even when we lose these dogs, which we share very raw and publicly, you know, so everybody gets to see what that's like. You get to see the journey of these dogs and even at the very end to see them treated with a lot of love and kindness. And, you know, that's a thing that I think has really resonated with people. And, you know, we don't really like, you know, monetize them or check their stats. We just post what we want to, but it's things that people really seem to enjoy.
I love it. Good karma your way. And it's a great site. And I think it's something that's needed because you're right. Because I think it was angry times and people were stressed and misunderstood the world. And guess what? We're probably still there just in maybe a different form or fashion. But having a site like you do, the Golden Ratio, and showing the wonderful pictures and the good work you're doing is fabulous. It allows us to step away from that. So keep up the good work. Big kudos. And I know, Stacey, you also have rescue dogs as well.
I have one currently, my dog Sadie, who's been with us for about 3 years and 3 months, and she's just an absolute delight. She has a major girl crush on Jen, and she's just so much fun. She's the most loving dog I've ever had. She pretty much likes most people and is very affectionate and playful. We're not sure how old she is. Our best guess is somewhere between 7 and 9. Because our vet thought one thing, the papers we got when we adopted her said another, but she's got a lot of puppy energy still, and she's just a ton of fun.
That's fantastic. Well, it's all in how you feel and the energy within you. It doesn't matter the actual age. And believe me, I'm
absolutely.
That's right. And I'm a former president of a humane society. So if we can get it within 2 years, we're doing pretty well. So I think that's good, but always go with the energy. So, Jen, I caught you saying earlier, and you correct me if I'm wrong on this, that everything just seemed to flow really easily. It took you about a year and a half to put it together, and you just sort of, you know, took everything and put it together in one piece, and voila, you got a book. Now, was it really that super duper easy, or what trials and tribulations came along with trying to put together a sort of a scientific but yet feel good and collect other people's stories book, and also working with a professional writer, Jen?
This is a good question. So I'm a pretty good writer, like for a scientist, right? Like my papers are pretty accessible. And I do a lot of public speaking and, you know, like talking to the media. And so I do know how to translate that. But I think my main problem with my first attempt at this myself is that I wasn't putting in a lot of like the touchy-feely or human stuff, which is really important for the book as it is. So the process that we kind of followed is that we'd pull together the studies that would go with each chapter because we had an outline. I would do my best to write up, you know, a few paragraphs on each study. We'd pick some stories and Stacey would kind of smooth it all together. I will say a thing that worked really well for us is I just deferred to Stacey, you know, so if I was
what?
Like, oh yeah, this is true. Where I mean, I read the audiobook version of the book too. And there's stuff in there. I was like, oh, I can tell that Stacey wrote this because definitely like not my style, but I don't know how to write a book for the public. I guess now maybe I do, but I didn't then. So if there was something that I was really passionate about in terms of, you know, the tone or the topics that got included, we would sort it out. But we had a pretty smooth ride in terms of that.
We really did.
And then if it was stylistic things, I'd be like, you know, we'll just like, we'll do it the way that Stacey wants to do it. So we'll see. We're going to write another book and we'll see if it goes as smoothly, because now I've got like my feet under me a little bit, and I will, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I know Stacey's going to have to deal with it.
It's going to be fine. I have full faith in us. So one of the things that's interesting about the way we did this is we really went back and forth. It was a full collaboration. It's not like Jen dumped a whole bunch of research on me and said, write this and make it sound good. We really went back and forth working from this outline, divvying up different parts of each chapter. Jen would write one section, I'd write another. We'd go back and forth, weave it together, add stories and studies. And so it was a very organic process, the way I look at it. And it doesn't always happen this way. I've written about a dozen books with other people over the years. And this was really one of the most seamless by far.
Yeah, and that's the brilliant part. And I can see it through reading the book, The Purest Bond, and then obviously getting a chance to chat with both of you tonight. The fact how it blends so well, you know, not only your background and the strengths come through, but how you collaborated well together. Because you're right, Stacey. I mean, it's, you can have a brilliant writer and you can have a brilliant, say, creator, you know, a thought, you know, an idea person, but trying to blend the two and put it in something that the public would want to read and respond to is not an easy thing to do.
I agree.
Now, I have to ask, when I read through both of your bios, you know, very, very impressive, you know, Jen, doing your TED Talks and millions of people seeing those, keynote speakers, writing for the Atlantic and Wired magazines, and then Stacey, your work with the U.S. News and World Report and Washington Post. My first thing when I looked at your backgrounds, I thought, okay, this is definitely going to be a very scientific approach to this book, very straightforward type of guide. But I found a lot of the blends of the stories really resonated. It resonated with me and allowed me to sort of take both sides of it and, like I mentioned earlier, blend it together to really get what I thought was an excellent point in getting the message out in the book.
Like I said before, we were so lucky that people gave us all of these stories. And I think it's really necessary for what we were trying to do with the book, was to show that, like, this is a profound relationship. There's so much interesting science to prove that it's not just you anthropomorphizing. It's not just something in your head. Like, this is real and the impacts go across your life. But you can tell that with statistics and scientific studies, which we do, and it's not going to have the same resonance as stories of people who met and got married. We met a couple that shared a story in the book last night. We met them in person at a book signing. They got engaged that way. You know, people sharing, you know, when they were hospitalized, when they were depressed and suicidal, and how their dogs kind of saved them from that. I got a story from a guy who was building a dock in my yard that his dog saved him from having a heart attack. And like, those personal stories, I mean, he like cried when he told me that story. I cried when he told me this story. People cry when they read it in the book. Like, they really bring, it's one thing to be like, people who have heart attacks and own dogs live longer than people who don't. Like, that's scientifically very interesting. And then here's our friend John, whose dog Chomp saved him and got him airlifted to Miami, where he had surgery the next day and he would have died. Really hits it home in a different way. So that's exactly what we wanted, to have that really personal touch along with the rigorous science, so people kind of got both sides of it.
Excellent. And you both accomplished that brilliantly. So big, big, big kudos. So I have to ask one standard question. I'll ask both of you, and we'll start with Stacey first. When people pick up a copy of the book, The Purest Bond, Understanding the Human-Canine Connection, what is the one key thing you want them to walk away with after they've read the book?
If they have a dog, I want them to love the dog more than ever and feel more invested in the relationship and appreciate their dog more than ever. I want them, okay, I've already blown it with one thing.
It was a trick question.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to do in one thing. But I also want them to see their experiences in the book. I want them to relate to some of the stories and some of the research, and maybe even look at the relationship they have with their current dog or a dog from their past through a different lens. and look at some experience they shared together and say, oh, well, based on this study, that's what was going on. And I think that what that does is it adds richness to people's current experiences or past experiences with these beloved canine creatures.
Love it. I love it. That's great. Now, Jen, back over to you. You have one, if there's one message or maybe one part A, part B, like Stacy had, what would you like the walk away to be after they read the book?
So I agree with everything Stacy said. I'll just kind of add on to that and get a little more specific. In addition to all of her points, she had mentioned, we have a couple chapters in the book about end of life and grief issues. Most of the book is very joyous, and those are, you know, those are obviously harder chapters, but I think they're the most important chapters in the book because there's not a lot out there to help you navigate that process of your dog getting older, about really helping them through the end of the life, about making those decisions, and then about grieving afterwards. And I think anybody who has had a dog, and especially who has lost a dog, or if you're facing that kind of decision making coming, it's going to be a really practical, hands-on, validating guide for you. And I think that's something that even if people skip the happy parts of the book, there's going to be something really important for them there. And so everything that Stacy said, plus those last two chapters, I hope will really help a lot of people.
Very good. You know, and those last two chapters, like both of you had mentioned, it's very, very powerful, very factual, and I think it would help with the grieving process. Because I get asked about that all the time, and we, as humans, we always beat ourselves up perhaps a little bit too much when that time comes, especially after our furry friends have made their transition. We always question, well, did I do it right? Did I do it too soon? You know, how did I do it? Should I have done it differently? Is that what they wanted? So we really beat ourselves up over this. So I think the last part of the book in particular really can get people to get through that process and understand it a little bit more, and perhaps give them a little bit more help and more of a hug when that time comes about. So I think it was a very important part. So I'm glad to both of you put it in the book.
Thank you. Us too.
Thanks.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank Jen Golbeck and Stacy Colino for coming on the show today. Everybody pick up a copy of the book. It's called The Purest Bond, Understanding the Human-Canine Connection. Jen, Stacy, thanks so much for coming on the show. And we'll look forward to chatting with you again somewhere down the road.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, drop us a line. You can drop us a line at petliferadio.com. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts. It's a cornucopia of furry feathered fin entertainment. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.